It's great to worship Jesus together and to celebrate Christmas. Thanks to the families and the kids. I'm going to invite our speakers to come this morning and take their seats. As Russell said, this morning is about joy, and we want to hear a couple of different perspectives on joy and what it means, and what it means in our lives. And so we just want to invite them to come and to share and take time this morning. As you know, we have three deacon couples that serve this church and work with us as leaders. And these dear saints are the three couples, the wives of the three couples. The three wise men stayed in the east, but their wives came to join us this morning. And I just want to allow them to come. Do you want the pulpit to stand in front of? Okay. If I could get a trusty assistant to help with that. Just thinking about the joy of God and what that means to us. You just have to read through the Psalms again and again and again, and you just hear the message of the presence of the in the presence of the Lord is joy forevermore. And he has placed us in pleasant places and all the things that the Bible speaks of. And only God can give us that amazing joy in our life. And I thank you, ladies, for being willing to share. And I'm going to invite you. Who is first this morning? Welcome, Rowan.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Rowan. I am married to Jeremy. I have four beautiful children, a cat, a love of music and gardening. When Len asked me to join the joy panel, I was kind of like, joy. Sounds like it should be easy. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. But after a week of thinking and praying and reading and re-listening to the sermon from last week, I can confidently say that I have joy in my life. It doesn't always look exuberant and happy. Often it's a quieter feeling, more of a comforting, peaceful, safe feeling that I know is always with me because it comes from God. I've read some definitions about joy, and I found them to come up short. Oxford Languages defines it as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Merriam-Webster defines it as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, the expression or exhibition of such emotion, a state of happiness or felicity, a source or cause of delight. That one is closer, probably because there's more to it. True joy comes from God. It's a gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and it provides strength. So I asked if Len had any guidance for how to go about my talk, and gave me three questions, so I'm just going to answer all three. So what joy means to you in your walk with Jesus? This question brought me to joy in our salvation and hope of heaven. I feel that in any circumstance, we can take a moment and look way into our future with Jesus and receive great joy from knowing that we have received salvation and we have the hope of heaven. Looking forward like that makes the hard things of our world seem a little bit more manageable. And it follows the example of Christ from Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I feel like I've never read or understood this verse before, and it's just like sinking in, like Jesus knew the joy that was on the other side of the cross, but he still had great sorrow and anguish at going to the cross, despite the knowledge of what was to come. And so I just hope that, I feel that we know the joy that is to come in heaven. And some of the joy to come in our own lives that we just don't yet know. And so we can take courage and still walk into the hard things. So next question, how do you find it in everyday life and challenges? It was a little hard to find this morning as I got 2 cups of water dumped on my lap. And Arthur didn't want to come to church. He said, I don't want to be a wise man. And then he disappeared as soon as he got here. And where did I find him? Getting his costume on with his friends. Like, oh, good. We're doing a good job. One of the ways I find joy is in praying for help and being obedient to God. A verse that often comes to my mind is Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When I choose to listen to God throughout my day in the big and small things and be obedient, however begrudgingly, I always find joy. I felt led to host mom's group this year. This past week, I wanted to stay home. Joke's on me, mom's group came anyways. And it was a beautiful morning full of Christmas and laughter and chatting and so many sparkles because we made wreaths and it was very fun. When I'm frazzled, I find these ideas will come to mind. Playing music, putting my phone away, exercising, sending a text of encouragement to someone, going on a walk, playing a game with Arthur, pretending to be Jasper's cat, reading to Lily, or talking with Naomi. These things help me to see the blessings in my life and the joy. Next question. Describe an example of when the joy of the Lord was truly your strength. So I can confidently say the joy of the Lord is my strength. The early days of Lily's diagnosis were very challenging. For those that don't know, Lily has been diagnosed with CLN2 Batten disease, which is a degenerative brain disease that results in the loss of all skills and abilities and eventually life. In those first weeks, I couldn't sleep or eat, but I prayed. I played piano and sang and cried. None of that felt joyful. But I also kept thinking of the verse, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Changing it to she is fearfully and wonderfully made. I see now that God's joy is in us. We are why he sent Jesus to the cross. God knits us together in his mother's womb. He sent Jesus, the good news that will cause great joy for all people. He knows the plans he has for us. I find strength because I know God takes great joy in our family and our little girl, and he truly has good plans for our lives. He knows the end, and he can see all of the journey already. That doesn't mean there's no room for grief, sorrow, anger, sadness, frustration. I feel all of these on a very regular basis. The tension of emotions with joy is great, and I believe God allows it to be so. Happiness is easy to talk about because you either are happy or are not happy. But I think you can have an undercurrent of joy through everything that comes your way because God is good. Look back and thank God for how he has carried you beautifully into joy in the past. And remember that as you reach out and hope for joy in the future. I pray that this Christmas you would experience the joy God has for you. That he would bring a lightness to your heart, a sparkle to your eyes, and a smile to your face. That God would give you strength through the hard feelings that may come up, and joy would be on the other side. Maybe he will even prompt you to dance. Thank you.
Whew, okay. Feel like we don't appreciate Pastor Leonard enough for weekly preparing sermons. It's like you start sitting down, you're like, wow, this is a task. It's an exercise. And even with Russell and hosting, everybody who hosts and stands up here, it's work. We appreciate you guys. I say that. But I didn't know we could ask for guidelines. That's a wise woman right there. I was like, oh, that's nice. So we'll take it as it is. It's going to be sort of a buffet, so take what you will. But as I was praying, and it's just like, what am I going to talk about joy? The other challenging thing about hosting and leading is you will be tested on the thing that you were talking on. So yesterday in the Oyodele household, let me tell you, it was not a joyful time. And we are here today kind of like Arthur. I don't want to go to church. But here we are because we know this word is for somebody here today. So we wrestle through and we share and we encourage each other so that we can stand together and stand stronger. So joy is a force. Joy gives strength. Joy is strength. We talk about the joy of the Lord being our strength in Nehemiah 8:10. And, you know, but if you find yourself here this morning, you're like, there's something that's not full in my joy. God gave me the analogy of a tire in a vehicle. In September, Larry was away for work for a week. And of course, when your husband's away, that's when things fall apart. I'm on the highway, I'm driving, trying to accelerate. I get to 80, things start shaking. I'm like, oh no, what's going on? So I call my husband and then I call Kay. They're like, well, it's either your alignment or your tires. I'm like, okay. Go to Costco, get the tires checked. Sure enough, the tire pressure in my front right was low. I couldn't accelerate. So the man said, this is very dangerous. Like, you, good thing you came here to fix this on time. So I start going. And as I'm preparing for joy this week, God reminds me of that. That sometimes in our lives, there are these slow leaks that we don't realize. And we're trying to engage and we're trying to move forward with God. But then we get to 80 and it's like, oh, things are shaking and we're not going to 100 today. And so the Lord just put two things that could be slow leaks in our lives that we can look out for and say, okay, if my joy is not full, what's taking my joy? So the first thing is in the area of understanding. I find in understanding the significance of Christ's birth, in understanding the fulfillment of the prophecy and the waiting and the coming of the Messiah, in understanding the kingdom of heaven and Christ and his coming. When we don't understand, we cannot experience the fullness of joy. I want to quickly read a passage from the book of Matthew, Matthew 13:44. This is the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I love this passage. And sometimes we think, oh, this is me. But sometimes we're honest enough to say, this is not me. I am not full of joy at finding this treasure, and I'm not selling everything I have. And so the Lord was just opening this up and said, okay, let's sit in this verse for a minute and picture ourselves as not this man who has found this treasure, but the man's friend. So this morning, I want you to give me as much creative liberty as you can as we just stretch this verse and find ourselves in this passage. So I want you to picture that this man is a friend, a childhood friend that you've known all your life. And you've grown up, and ever since he was little, he's talking to you like, today, my dad told me about this treasure that's in this field that I have to find. I want you to even picture that it's from his grandfather, grandfather to father. It's been generations, and there's been secrets passed down of, this is as far as we've gone, son. Now, here's all our treasure. You go find it. And so he has these maps. He has the keys. He has things. And he's been telling you, as his friend, all your lives, you've heard him from preschool up, I'm going to find this treasure. One day I'm going to find this treasure. So he's looking. The day he finds the treasure, of course, you're his best friend. He comes running with joy. He hides it, and you're the first person he sees. Oh my goodness, I found the treasure. And he's so excited, and he's just going on. And in your mind, you're like, man, he found the treasure. I want to know this treasure. So you go with him, and he shows you the treasure. And to you, it looks like dirt. Because you don't understand the treasure. So he goes away, he's excited, he's starting to sell his stuff, like, man, my life is made, I found the thing my grandfather was looking for, to my father, to me. And you're there like, dirt? Like, has he lost his mind? And sometimes in our Christian walk, it's like, we're celebrating a baby in a manger? Are these people crazy? How does this baby give me fullness of joy? How are they talking about this joy that I'm celebrating and we are giving up our lives for Christ? It's a baby, Christ. But today as I was reading that, I felt the Lord saying, I'm bringing understanding. I'm bringing understanding to those who will ask and to those who will say, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see what you're doing. I want to see Christ in his fullness from his birth until his death and resurrection. And it's the gift of God that gives us insight to see a piece of dirt like an archaeologist would see. And just with such care and delicacy, hold it. You know, you brush it with the special brushes and you have gloves because you don't want to mar it. And that's kind of the story of Christ. Christ is a treasure, but he's hidden. He is revealed, but he's hidden. And if we find that the joy that we have doesn't match that that the man had, that he ran and sold everything, we don't have to be discouraged, because God says we can come to him and we can ask for the gift of understanding. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses, I think 15 to 19, that's homework. So if I was ever a teacher, you'd get so much homework. Homework number one, reading Ephesians chapter 1. Why was Paul praying? Paul was praying for the church, and he was saying that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they may know. But these people were lovers. Before that verse, they had full love for one another, and they had been strong in their faith. These are the people that Paul was praying for. That's you and me. We love each other. We're strong in our faith. But still, he prayed for understanding. And so back to the story, you know, being the friend of the guy who found the treasure, may we see the treasure and not see dirt. May we see the treasure and our eyes and our understanding and years of generations of we're waiting for this. I cannot wait for the Messiah. May that be what we see when we find this treasure in Christ this Christmas. So do not be discouraged. Pray and ask the Lord in your quiet times, as I am asking the Lord. I want my joy to be full. Open the eyes of my understanding. I want to see you, God. The next thing, the second leak in our tire is in the area of forgiveness. And we say this all the time, you know, there's never enough to just look at your heart and say, God, is there anything offensive in me that you want me to work through? And I'll give another analogy. I go to Brad. Oh, he thought he'd be here. So go to Brad for Cairo. And I was nursing Lizzie. I'd have some tingling in my arm, some things going on. And he would never say, oh, here, let me fix your arm. He'd always adjust my spine. I'm always getting adjusted right here, if you care to know. And you know, I think about that. Sometimes we look at our arm, and that could be the joy in our life. Like, something's not right. My arm's tingling. My joy is low. And there's a temptation to slap a smile on it and just say, I just need to smile a little bit harder. That's why, you know, just put it on there. But God is going to our spines, and he's aligning us inside. And so that alignment in the kingdom of God looks like love. And Pastor talked about it last week. If you want to experience the joy in this season, align yourself in the posture of humility and love in service to your brother. The more you give and you show the love of Christ, the more joy you will feel in your heart and experience the fullness of Christ. So as God is aligning us, our posture is in a posture of humility, but our posture is in a posture of love. And then you'll find, oh, okay, the tingles in my arm are gone. The joy is back, but it's here. It's the alignment. It's coming as Christ our Savior and humbling ourselves, forgiving, and loving. So those are the two areas that I hope that if you have time this week, you can sit down and say, okay, God, open the eyes of my understanding and help me to humble myself like Christ so I can experience the joy of his salvation this Christmas. So be blessed.
Well, Pastor Leonard, that was, Toby, that was a great word. Yeah, that was super. I come from a bit of a different perspective. I guess in my life, joy has been elusive, really. It doesn't come naturally to me. In fact, through most of my life, I was a very melancholy person. I was just thinking about that this morning coming here. It was depressing how melancholy I was. But the amazing thing is that God can change that. And, I mean, I don't know what God did, but he certainly changed it in my life. But I'm not saying that my joy meter is always up here, by no means. And like I said, mostly in my life, joy, as we think of it in a worldly sense, has been rather elusive and doesn't come naturally. But I was reminded of Galatians last week, the fruit of the Spirit, and joy is actually the second fruit listed. So that tells me, well, this is important, for one. It's also attainable if we want to be a growing Christian, because we can ignore the Word of God and think joy is this whoop-de-doo thing, but it's in the Word, and it's listed secondly. So But I have to find joy as well, I think, as well. So one of the things in my life that really gives me great joy, and you might be surprised by this, is children laughing uproariously at something totally stupid and silly. And there is, I just thought about this morning, so I'm going to run with it. There's a YouTube clip of this little girl. She's probably 25 now, but anyway, at the time, she was in the medicine cabinet, and she pulled out her mother's lipstick. And her dad encounters her, and he's taped this, of course, for YouTube. And she's got this lipstick all over her mouth and everywhere. And her dad says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm yippie. This is my yippie stick." And her dad says to her, "Where did you get that from?" "I got that from Home Depot." It's like, it's just hilarious. So anyway, kids that are happy and joyful really are significant to me. Though, as many of you know, Les and I, we don't have kids. We don't have grandkids. I'm kind of finding my joy elsewhere. Sometimes it's in your kids. And I know sometimes your kids drive you crazy, too. They spill water on your lap, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes your kids drive me crazy, too. So there you go. But truly, and I say this frequently when I see a kid that's just crazy happy, there's no greater joy in life but to see a happy child. Life is short. Life happens. Let them be kids. Just let them be kids. Another thing that gives me, and I just say that's joy I find sort of in your kids. It's elsewhere. It's not like this really deep, heartfelt thing. But another thing that gives me joy is, when I was working, I would walk to work, rain or snow, sleet, hail, whatever, and minus 35. So I was walking to work one day and walked through our community, and there was this huge spruce tree, and all these birds were singing in that spruce tree. And it was amazing. It was like an orchestra, and I had to pause. I had an audio clip that I have on my phone of those birds singing crazily in minus 35 weather. And I thought to myself, they've got just these few feathers to cover them and maybe a little bit of shelter from the tree. But if they can sing, why can't I? It's minus 35. And really, I mean, that was a God moment, because it's tough outside, minus 35. If they can sing, why can't I? And now, I could sing just as easily in Hawaii, of course, but it happened in minus 35, and what it showed to me was the provision and care of God for these birds, reminding me of the word of God that says, of course, "I will look after the sparrow. I will look after you, Dave. I will look after Lily. You know, I will look after you," even in minus 35. So I was with the kids in the nursery, which, don't misread me, it's not because I love kids, babies especially, that I'm in the nursery. Just want to help out mums so they can be in the service. But last week, Leonard spoke. He asked me to be on this panel, and my husband and I debated about this strongly. And I was the chosen one. I was the designated driver, so to speak. But I missed the sermon, is where I'm trying to go with this. And in the meanwhile, Leonard had... I've lost my train of thought here. Leonard had asked me to be a part of this panel. And, I was the designated driver, so to speak. And I said yes. And the first thing that came to my mind, without having heard Leonard's preach, was, in my life anyway, I know this to be true, joy and sorrow often go together. And that's been my experience. So I listened to Leonard's preach a couple days later on the website, and you know, he had some fine words, and I thought what I say now is going to be heretical, that joy and sorrow sometimes go together. Okay, so I don't dwell, I used to dwell on the past and my sorrows, but God has delivered me from that, in a sense. And what Leonard said, sorry, I know I'm going back and forth here, is probably means that this is an emotional topic for me, so I'm trying to run from it. But Leonard said, joy looks forward, sorrow looks backwards. So, of course, we want to choose joy. We want to move forward. But, as I said, for me, joy and sorrow go together, and I'll explain why. In the toughest times, in the deepest of sorrows that mostly in my marriage, not with Les, but in our marriage, during our marriage, I have to explain that. see, this is, I guess it's a tough topic for me because I'm having an emotionally hard time. We were talking a couple weeks ago about some particularly difficult time, and we just shook our heads at the depth of our sorrow, but we also shook our heads at the amazing, amazing, amazing faithfulness of God. The steadfast love that he has for us that endures forever. And so what can come out of the sorrow is great joy, because we come to recognize, really, God is so faithful and so amazing. And that's the joy. It's not that I'm dwelling on the sorrow, but the joy is that God has been so faithful and amazing. And for me, I mean, I know it sounds hokey, but like for me, this is my experience, and I find this to be true. Sometimes my joy meter is not up there, and that really is okay, because we are human. We are people. But rather, I have to rely on God to give me a supernatural perspective of joy. So have I arrived? No, but I'm working on it. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you, ladies.